If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today, Seth chats with Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel, who then go backstage for a bonus segment. Plus another edition of Late Night Chats with writers Seth Reese and Mike Carnell. But first, here's a closer look.
Donald Trump has spent a lot of time as president golfing and tweeting. Meanwhile, Republican members of Congress are in their home districts facing down constituents angry over Trump and the GOP's agenda. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Trump has spent a lot of time in his first month in office down at his private club in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, away from Washington. And when he is at the White House, he always seems a little uncomfortable, like today, when he held a roundtable meeting with business leaders and the CEO of the Campbell Soup Company introduced herself to Trump.
Thank you, Mr. President. Denise Morrison from Campbell Soup Company.
That's good soup.
He talks to CEOs the way I awkwardly talk to my aunt. Good soup. Nice weather we're having. Meanwhile, members of Congress are in their home districts right now meeting with constituents. And look, it's not easy being a member of Congress these days, facing down angry voters at rowdy town halls, standing under those hot lights, getting yelled at by your constituents. I'm sure they'd love to get out of there and just relax for a while, like this guy.
As president, Donald Trump's visited two Florida golf courses he owns near Mar-a-Lago nearly every weekend since taking office, playing six times so far.
You played golf six times in 1 month? Are you the president of the United States or a San Diego dentist? Now, some of you might be saying, but he criticized Obama for golfing. What about that? Well, you are forgetting that when it comes to being a hypocrite, Donald Trump has a zero handicap. He's the Tiger Woods of hypocrisy. Now, most people, myself included, probably don't care that Trump is golfing, but obviously he's a little embarrassed because the president's team has gone to great lengths to hide the fact that he's been playing golf from the public. On Sunday, for example, the White House claimed the president would spend the day in meetings, but then a professional golfer blew Trump's cover.
Just this past Sunday, the president teed it up with professional golfer Rory McIlroy at Trump International. The golf blog, No Laying It Up, posted this picture from Clear Sports of McIlroy with the president and their foursome at Trump International Golf Course. A White House spokeswoman told reporters Sunday that the president played a couple of holes. Then, after learning that McIlroy had shared the president played 18, the spokeswoman explained that the president intended to play a few holes and decided to play longer.
No one plays a few holes of golf. Anyone up for four holes? The only person I ever met who only played a few holes of golf is me after my dad shanked one and yelled mother so loud birds flew out of a tree. I'm gonna go back to the clubhouse. In fact, Trump's team has been so shady about his golf playing, they won't even let reporters watch or tell the press who he's playing with.
His golf game seems to be a cloak and dagger operation. Unlike Trump's team, Obama's aides allowed cameras to show him on the links and told reporters who he played with.
To be fair, if this is how you looked when you played golf, you ditched the cameras too. But Trump isn't just spending his time as president golfing, he's also tweeting. In fact, Trump tweets so much his team has to look for ways to keep him from doing it. In a Politico article yesterday, former Trump campaign staffers revealed the techniques they use to manage Trump's mood and keep him from firing off angry tweets. For example, Trump staffers said it's important to show Trump deference and offer him praise and respect, as that will lead him to more often listen. Leaving him alone for several hours can prove damaging because he consumes too much television and gripes to people outside the White House. Also, if you let him eat after midnight, he turns into a gremlin. A lot of things to keep straight. So while Trump is tweeting and hitting the links, Republican members of Congress are in their home districts dealing with constituents who are angry about Trump's first month in office. Voters are especially angry about the GOP's plan to repeal Obamacare, even in deep red states like Kentucky. Watch a constituent confront Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell over the possibility that coal miners could lose their health insurance.
Last I heard, these coal jobs are not coming back, and now these people don't have the insurance they need because they're poor. And they work those coal mines, and they're sick. The veterans are sick. The veterans are broken down. They're not getting what they need. If you can answer any of that, I'll sit down and shut up like Elizabeth Warren.
Look at Mitch McConnell. Even the memory of telling Elizabeth Warren to sit down brings a smile to his face.
I feed off your anger. your rage makes me smile.
And it's not just Kentucky. In Louisiana, for example, Senator Bill Cassidy tried to explain his opposition to Obamacare, but voters shouted him down, demanding that he answer their questions.
Louisiana GOP Senator Bill Cassidy just wrapped up a very contentious town hall. In fact, Cassidy was forced to abandon his PowerPoint presentation on the Republicans' plan to replace Obamacare when the angry crowd shouted him down and literally turned their backs on him.
To be fair, who hasn't wanted to turn their backs on a PowerPoint presentation? Today we'll be looking at quarterly sales goal. No! No! Do it a different way! Voters in red states are even getting sassy with their senators. At a town hall this week in Iowa, for example, Senator Chuck Grassley was offered a gift from a 62-year-old Democratic pig farmer named Chris Peterson, a bottle of Tums. Peterson told Grassley, "You're going to need them over the next few years." We're all going to need Tums, as I'm pretty sure it's the closest thing Republicans have for a replacement to Obamacare. With Tums and Advil Care, you get to choose your own health care. Tums or Advil. But no one got more of an earful than Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who faced down an auditorium full of hundreds of angry voters who spent hours grilling him.
We are concerned because it appears that this administration is trampling our constitutional rights.
I would like everyone who is affected by the Affordable Care Act and affected by health care to stand up.
Yeah, show us the tax returns. And also, don't you own an iron? He looks like a kid in a school play whose performance was so bad, they called him back out on stage by himself so everyone could boo him.
You suck, Tin Man! Give that heart back!
In fact, GOP town halls have gotten so rowdy that even just mentioning the name of the vice president will earn you a deafening round of boos, as Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz found out at his town hall earlier this month.
Mike Pence is, like, the most decent human being I've ever
You gotta give it to Mike Pence. He's the only guy who could get booed at a Broadway musical in Manhattan, a town hall in Utah, and a minor league baseball game in his home state of Indiana. Mike Pence gets booed more than kids boo the witch in a puppet show. Now, Chaffetz spent the entire town hall dealing with constituents who were concerned about repealing Obamacare and also the general feeling of chaos and turmoil in the Trump administration, a feeling best summed up by this retired teacher.
I'm a retired teacher, and I taught for 35 years in Salt Lake. and I rarely had a discipline problem because I laid out my expectations very clearly and I laid out the consequences. But once in a while at the beginning of the year, after just 2 or 3 weeks, I could look at the kid and think, you're going to be a problem. It's been 2 or 3 weeks.
I guess when you live in Utah, the lake makes you salty. By the way, it's not just Republicans who are facing town hall protests. Moderate Democrats are also preparing for protests at their own town halls from constituents demanding they stand up to Trump. But rather than respond to those voters' concerns, Democrats are apparently asking Bernie Sanders for help. According to the Washington Post, Democrats are asking Sanders to reach out and urge activists to redirect their anger at Republicans instead of at moderate Democratic lawmakers. It's so sad how establishment Democrats have to beg Bernie Sanders to calm down progressive activists. Like he's some kind of activist whisperer. Although he'd be better at that than horse whisperer. Jump over the fence! Come on, horsey! Don't be nervous! Look, Trump and Republicans in Congress are facing a massive backlash over their plan to repeal Obamacare because they have nothing better to offer. In fact, if you get sick right now, the Republican prescription for you is basically just this.
Good soup.
This has been A Closer Look.
Hey, I'm Amber Ruffin.
And I'm Jenny Hagel. Thank you so much for listening to the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast.
But just one more thing. If you could, please subscribe and rate our podcast.
And review it.
And review it. And then call us and tell us you like us in person. Thank you so much.
Our guests are two very funny comedians who created and star in the new web series Drive Share, which is available on Go90.com and through the Go90 app. Please welcome to the show my friends Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel, everybody. Gentlemen, how are you?
Very good.
Look at these people.
That's the audience. Okay.
Rob had no idea that there was an audience.
Oh,
I thought this was a podcast.
Oh, wow. It was supposed to be a huge deal.
Yeah. You're scared. You've I'm never terrified. Been
I want to ask you guys this because we were talking backstage. You guys live in LA. Rob just had a baby. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes.
Paul, two young kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it great? Is it nice to be in New York City? Is it nice to get a break?
But can I take this?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Can I look into this camera right here?
Yeah, go for it.
It's my first time away from my wife and baby. I just want to say I am not having fun in New York without you.
And I want to tell my wife, I am not enjoying sleeping in the morning. It's terrible without you.
I want to also say to my wife, I do not like seeing Hamilton two nights in a row.
I hate getting drunk with my friends and hanging out without a care in the world. It sucks.
That is very convincing and believable.
We have to tell our wives that.
Yeah. Have you, this has started to happen to me a little bit. Has the way you watch, the kind of TV you watch changed now that you're fathers?
Oh, yeah, big time. I feel like right now I'm knee-deep in, like, season 8 of Paw Patrol.
Okay.
Which is a great show. It's very much like Game of Thrones.
Gotcha.
That's a kid show, right?
It's billed as a kid show, but there's a lot of adult stuff there. It's a rescue pups. You know, no job is too big, no pup is too small.
Oh, that's...
You know, it's heavy. I have to have the Wikipedia page out to kind of keep track of all the characters.
A lot of characters, yeah.
Oh, Adventure Bay. There's always something going on in Adventure Bay. Good thing Ryder's there.
I only show my baby myself on the TV. That's my thing. I'll DVR anything that I'm on, and I'll make her watch that.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Is that having an effect? Does
it's
she
a
seem
terrible
like a
idea.
Fan? Okay, gotcha.
Terrible. She's terrified.
Well, you're in a lot of adult stuff.
I'm in a lot of risque things.
I mean, I love you in Transparent, but I don't think that's for kids.
It was a terrible idea.
Yeah, that's not for
not
kids.
Have had her
that's
watch
where
Transparent.
You're wrong. Transparent should be for kids, too. You know, get them in early. Yeah, little kids.
Just real little.
Brand new babies.
So this show... is about, like, ride-sharing.
Yes.
Okay.
We just thought that we're big fans of making people drive us places.
Yeah.
And we just thought it would be a fun sketch comedy show to do it in the back of an Uber, basically.
Yeah, basically that's it.
And I told the story earlier this year of when I took an Uber to the hospital. My wife almost had the baby in the back of the Uber. So is it sort of stories like those kind of... Everybody has a story.
It's funny.
Exactly like that.
Well, it's funny you mention that because we were kind of inspired by your story, and we actually have an episode about someone giving birth in the back of a cab.
I think we have a clip of that. Let's take a look.
Please don't go into labor because
I'm not pregnant.
Did it come out?
Did what come out?
Is it crowning?
Look, sir, I'm just going to the hospital on a date.
Please don't mess up my seats, for real.
You guys are also sort of as a service to the drivers who do this for a living. You are looking to change the conversation because...
Yes. Yeah, you guys, you got to mix it up when you get into an Uber or a Lyft because they're so bored. You know, they get the same questions all the time.
How long have you been driving for Uber?
Who cares?
Yeah.
So we figure you get in and ask them stuff like, hey, do you want to see a dead body?
Gotcha.
I'll lift up my shirt and I'll be like, is this eczema or a rash? You know, yeah. Simple stuff.
I'll whisper something creepy like, do you think I'm a good kisser?
Can I rehearse my one-man show? And it's great. They're a great audience, a captive audience. Yeah. Yeah, I'll go.
It's nice to have you guys here on a talk show because you used to work on a talk show was on CNBC. I was a guest. We knew each other from improvising together. Yeah. But you worked on the John McEnroe show on CNBC.
Give it up. Give it up.
No, don't give it up.
Give it up.
Don't give it up.
Give it up.
It's a talk show that no one should remember because you shouldn't give a talk show position to a tennis star. Like, he's great at tennis.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Not known for his comedy skills.
Yeah. Not known for doing monologue jokes. When he would come out there, he would bail on his own jokes. He'd be like, you see the president? Nah, I'm not going to do
this. I'm not doing it. Like,
what? You can't. You didn't even.
And you were writers.
Yeah, we would write bits for him, and then we would write funny characters for ourselves. And so we'd come out as like, you know, I am a robot.
And he's like, that's not a robot. That's a writer, Rob. Guys, you're killing us. But the audience was so confused because they would kidnap an audience. Like, they would come down to Rockefeller Center.
And they taped it out in New Jersey somewhere. So they would
caucus, right?
Yeah. So they would bus people out there.
Under the guise of free pizza. So people are coming to New York. Hey, you want some New York pizza? Come on this bus. Lock the doors, drive them to New Jersey. Like, unload them. Like, what are we doing? Why we're going to watch this talk show.
Why is there a tennis star telling jokes? What is happening?
And occasionally breaking out a guitar and just kind of like playing guitar. It's like, the audience at home does not want to see you like jamming.
Hey, but look, the audience there got pizza, and I think that's the takeaway.
A lot of free pizza.
Guys, it's so great to see you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much
for being
here. Thanks for having us.
Paul Scheer, Rob Hewitt, everybody. Drive Scheer is available on Go90.com and through the Go90 app. We'll be right back with more Late Night.
Hey, everybody, this is Henry. I'm backstage with Paul Scheer and Rob Hewitt, who've got this great new show called Drive Share on Go90. So we were just talking about Uber and Lyft and those types of rideshare apps. Yeah. You guys must have worst experiences in those types of cars experience.
You know, I actually don't have a worst experience. I have the best experience.
Great.
I once had a Lyft where the driver was a DJ, literally a DJ. He had a DJ set up in his like front passenger seat, and I got in. He's like, I'm DJ Jan, and I'm going to rock you home. I was like, great. He literally was taking turns and switching tracks at the same time. I'm like, I want this guy in my life. I wish that was an option on like Uber to be like, DJ option.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. I haven't had a good one like that. I get the weirdos that like, want to be my friend and think that they will be my, because they know where I live now.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, cool, you live right here? Okay, cool, I'm just going to jot that down. And then, yeah, we could totally bro out sometime. Like, no, Derek, we're not going to be friends, Derek. Like, don't email me.
Right.
All right, let me just ask you one more question here. Tell us a little bit about who is in the show along with you guys.
Well, it's really cool because DriveShare comes out every single day for 30 days. So you can, every day there's about two rides, and we have amazing people that you know, Adam Pally from Happy Endings, Casey Wilson.
Jack McBrayer, Jason Manzoukas.
Natasha Leggero. Jessica St. Clair.
Basically all of your comedy best buddies, like all the heavyweights of comedy that live in LA.
Yes,
are on the show. Because we just figured we're a fan of having people drive us everywhere, and so we take a lot of these rideshare things. And we were like, well, let's do a sketch show in the back of a car.
Yeah,
so it's just that. It's just funny characters in an Uber.
You know? And the best part about it is it's totally free. You can go to go90.com. You can watch it. You don't have to sign up for anything. No credit cards. It's just a free website. It's just YouTube, but go90.com instead of YouTube. So when you type it in, don't type in YouTube.
Yeah, go90.com. Congrats on the show. And again, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, I'm Seth Reese, and I am a supervising writer at Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Hi, I'm Mike Carnell, and I'm a segment director at Late Night with Seth Meyers.
And this is Late Night Chats with Seth and Mike. But I will say, for the people listening, because there is a more important Seth at this show, because he plays in the band, his name is Seth Jabort. No, because Seth Meyers is the host of the show, I typically go by Reese, which is my last name.
Do you want to take the intro again?
Yeah, I guess we should do that.
Maybe we'll do Reese and Mike. We'll say it at the same time.
Okay. Hi, I'm Reese, and I'm a supervising writer at Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Hi, I'm Mike Carnell, and I'm a segment director at Late Night with Seth Meyers.
And this is
Late Night Chats with Reese and Mike.
Late Night Chats. So, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be sitting here and talking with you.
It's a joy.
Typically, you sit behind me. Mm-hmm. In our writer's room. And by the way, for just to give people out there more of a picture, Mike, and I don't think deserves this because he does. This is a big job for Mike, but a first big job, right?
Yeah.
Kind of a first biggie.
It's my first TV
and
job.
I don't think it's my first big TV job too, but I don't think Mike deserves this. He has a view of the Rockefeller Center skating rink from his desk. All he has to do is look outside the window and he can see the rink. It's like, and he can see the top of the Christmas tree. It's above the Christmas tree. It's beautiful.
Truly the best seat in the house.
It is the best seat in the house. I don't think you deserve it.
And
I don't want you to take that personally. I don't think you deserve it. Not because you're a bad person. Uh-huh. I don't think you've put in the work, the time.
I'll say this. Day one, my name was on the desk, man. I didn't come in here demanding a view of the ice hockey rink
in
Manhattan. I just sat where I was told, dude.
That said, Mike is a pretty, chill person.
You can tell how much I say dude.
He's a chill person, but it was once suggested to Mike by another... Mike is a very chill person. It was once suggested to Mike that he switch desks with a potential other coworker, and what did you say to this person?
So this was a coworker who had just left and had a friend who was potentially going to get hired.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, "Hey, it would really help him out if he was more in the room because you're already established. Can you switch desks with him if he gets hired?" His desk is would have been the worst desk in the office. I laughed so hard in his face.
Right in his face.
Just twice even. He was like, "No, I'm serious." And I just couldn't stop cackling.
Yeah, it would have been dumb for you to
get
that
desk. You're
going
to have to drag me away from that desk. It's beautiful.
So we've worked together now. How long have you been on staff?
Over a year.
So I've been on staff since Late Night with Seth Meyers started.
Like 3 years.
So 3 years coming up very soon. Our 3 year anniversary is coming up, I think. This week. And you've been here for a year.
Yeah, a little over. I started last January.
So we've worked together for a year, except for that 3 year stint where we worked in advertising together.
Oh, I mean,
which was great.
A lot of good campaign. Money, dude. The money was good.
And the women. It was, and the money. We did some killer Pringles campaigns.
You know, the most interesting man in the world.
That was me.
Not us. Well, we lost out on that bid.
You're right, now that I'm remembering it. And once you pop, you can't stop. Also not me.
Yeah.
I suggested, open it up. You might enjoy these potato chips.
I thought that was great. I thought that
was honest. But
rolls off the tongue.
I didn't like it. So we met here.
Yes. Our first day we had to work on a video that I didn't shoot.
Oh, that's right.
It was my first day. I didn't even know how to get down to the editing bay.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Hey," because the last director had just left. Because for those of you who don't know what a segment director is, I direct all the pre-tapes,
right?
And they were like, "So we have this video that was shot that isn't edited yet, and you have to go down there."
And so the video, if anybody's listening to this and then wants to go online, it was Seth polls Iowa voters,
which is,
it might still be online, I'm not sure if it is.
Which is more difficult than normal because it's just cameras rolling and it's found comedy, and you really have to dig in it. But I wasn't there for any of it, so I had to watch. My first day was watching 3 hours of raw footage and trying to build a video.
And it had to air that night.
Yeah.
And you were stressed.
I was but I was flying by the seat of my pants, and I didn't have any sense of the dynamic of the room or your personality or even the editor's personality.
And so when the first cut came back and it wasn't good, I was like,
okay.
"Oh, we've hired a bad employee."
I thought it was pretty good.
It's like a no. Oh, bad employee.
Oh, swing and a miss on Carnell.
Yes. So, oh, man.
Yeah.
Don't get too close with this guy because he's a bad employee.
12 more weeks and he's gone.
Yeah.
But it turned out.
But and so we've so because Mike directs all of our pre-tapes.
And you write a lot of them.
I tend to write a lot of them. We work together a lot.
Yes. Intimately.
What are some of the things? Well, but I have a quick question.
Yeah.
And not that I'm, we can interview one another. It's a free flowing conversation.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We're friends.
What were you doing before you got to Late Night?
I started out, this isn't my first TV job. I worked at NCIS for 2 years, the crime show.
Explain what you were doing.
So anytime you would see like a crime on like those crime scene photos, anything on a screen, anytime there was like surveillance, we've got surveillance of this guy leaving this restaurant. He's our suspect. Maps, anything graphical on a screen was my job to like make. I was essentially like directing these like splinter units doing that. And they don't
a
splinter unit.
Cool.
And they don't do any green screen. So we would shoot all these things and then I would have to be on set. And there's like two dudes in a little room clicking buttons that animate, like pull up his passport. So we would shoot all the passport photos, shoot all the driver's license photos.
Now, did you hate it?
It was awesome because I was like 21 and like had convinced these people to give me a very like a lot of responsibility.
Right. And where did you go to school?
Ohio State.
Go
Bucks. Go Bucks. But you know, from there I kind of had started, I befriended the grips and electrics on the set and they would teach me all about lights and teach me how to light things.
Right.
So then I started lighting my own things. People started hiring me to shoot stuff for them. Then I started directing my own stuff. And then I started working at Above Average here in New York about 2.5 years ago. And then this position opened up and here we are.
And even though he was just god awful.
I mean, that polling that video.
Woo. And a bad employee.
And bad attitude.
A bad attitude. you've really come into your own.
Well, thank you, sir. You write very fun videos.
Well, great.
Well, I think we both love movies. And a lot of this stuff is like, we've done 2 fake trailers now.
Yes.
And we both can reference films. It's easy for, we have like a language where we can reference films and looks.
Oh, yes. Sweet.
And styles.
So the first, the first big video thing that you did.
Yeah.
Which was great. And this was something you wrote and it was so funny.
It was my first pitch meeting.
And it's really great. And it
downhill
was,
from there.
It was Reasonable Max
yeah.
was the title of the video. And it was Seth sort of playing one of those
War boys,
but he was the one like, guys, can we just cool it with the drinking the mother's milk and let's take showers?
And like this guy's, and we need a lot of gasoline to run these cars. Gasoline is clearly a resource, that sort of thing.
It was really funny, and you did,
and you helped me on it. It was like my first week, and you helped me shape it.
Yeah, and it looks so good.
That is crazy. With the art department on our, which is like,
well, that is something for people. I keep on saying this. Now I've now found I have a nervous tic when I do the late night podcast where I say for the people listening. I've now like
oh, they
now
listen. They
I said it like
listening.
4 times, and now I know I say it all the time. So a lot of the stuff that Mike and I do, like for example, and I will probably talk about it. We're recording this right after we
Oscar
aired a fake trailer for a movie called Oscar Bait, which sort of it's a send up. It sends up
for all you cinephiles out there, dude.
It sends up sort of, you know, Oscar Beatty movies. But for something like that to happen, so many things have to fall into place and so many departments have to be amazing and on their game and everything has to, like
for parodies in particular, it's like set design, wardrobe all really have to be on point.
Yeah.
Because if we're shooting something that's like a fake Oscar thing, it has to look good.
Yeah, it has to look good.
And these guys, these art department, like basically what happens is we'll get the script, they'll whip up a ground plan. I'll look at the ground plan based on how I'm going to shoot it, and we'll make changes based off like what my coverage is going to be or like where my camera needs to be. Like for Oscar Bait, there's a really long 45-second shot.
And also like we have a great producer. Her name's Hillary Hun, and she makes sure the trains run on time.
Yes.
And there's so many trains to make sure they run on time and everything's I mean, I don't know. It's a huge production. I mean, if people are familiar with Studio 8H, where they shoot SNL, we transformed all of 8H. There were like
eight sets
in 8H. And it looked completely different.
I think one thing
amazing.
That differentiates us from, say, SNL, which is sort of like Seth comes from there. Our video pieces are somewhat similar, but they have a film unit completely dedicated. They have art directors,
right.
Directors of photography. Everyone is just video. Everyone who does our show
does
is double dipping from the show we tape live.
Yeah.
And also like dealing with me being like, I don't like where those windows are placed. It doesn't work for my shot. And
so
having to rebuild
way
sets.
Way to throw people under the bus.
Well, I'm throwing myself
under the bus.
We're
doing such a good job giving people credit. And then you
well, that, I'm
up
saying
and
that
made
they do
fun of everyone.
They do more work than... like an SNL crew.
And by
it's
the way, we are sitting here. Do you know how many views Oscar Bait has on YouTube right now? Do you know? Throw out a guess.
Well, I saw some this morning. Are we talking like 200K?
Two.
Two?
Two views. We spent so much money.
It was a $5 million sketch.
And there are two. It's two views right now.
Yeah.
And they're both views. Mm-hmm. Are Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
Refreshing. And here's what's sad. He created a lot of accounts.
Yes.
On YouTube accounts.
Meth Sires.
So like if you look through, they're all written by him. It's yeah. So sad.
And bummer, like little Easter egg. Like there was a full scene that was like Meryl Streep. We brought in some Hollywood heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Had to get cut.
And that's the thing. Seth is such a monster. And that, I mean, that for he's such a monster. We had George Clooney. We had Meryl Streep. We had... Helen Mirren.
This
they
is
all
a
film scenes.
4-hour scene.
And when we played the cut for Seth, he was like, I just want it to be me. Take those people out.
The audience
just
doesn't care about
me.
Them.
They don't care about
They're
them.
They're here for me.
And we said, Seth, I don't know if that's true. And then that's when he threw a shoe at you.
Yeah. Oh, straight in the nose.
He said, get out. And I'm looking at Mike Carnell right now. Black and blue.
Bridge broken.
Bridge. I mean, it's bad. And Seth refuses to pay any medical bills.
Yeah, I mean...
But he can get away with it because he's the boss.
Hey, stars will be stars, you know?
I'm going to look at the sheet.
At our cheat sheet. Well, I mean, we kind of touched on it, like, how long we worked together, when do we meet?
Yeah.
What is your favorite video that we've made? Is it Oscar Bait or is it something else?
Because
we've probably made, like, 6 to 7 videos that, like,
you have
written.
So I am... This was before your time. I am partial to Boston accent.
True. Before my time.
But actually, the one video I really... There are two that I really love.
All right. Let's hear it.
The first one we did was our very first video. It was kind of our first big thing, and it was very exciting. It was the Sorkin sketch.
That wasn't me.
I know that wasn't
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
But I'm just talking about not
just
from,
you in particular.
Right. It's just something that I remember of our videos.
I just want to remind you the title is Late Night Chats with Reese and Mike. So let's, stuff with me.
The second one also is not you. it was a Sorkin sketch, and it was just really cool feeling because it was our first big like piece.
I remember that. It's really cool.
And it looked really great.
Another example of like you really have to match the tone and
yes,
the style of something,
yes.
Which is harder than people would think.
And then the second one... because she was so good in it, and it was really cool how good she was in it. We did Anna Wintour, comedy icon.
Another not me video.
Another
cool,
not you
cool,
video.
Cool, 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 cool.
But it's so cool when someone you write a performance for someone because you have an idea of what they can do, and then she came in. And
nailed it
and did even and then added on to it and did things that even enhanced it, and it was
yeah.
Just like this is gonna be so good. You know as it's being shot you are gonna come off so funny and you're knocking it out of the park. And also I remember Seth fed her the line to say I love my job because I love to laugh. Because in the video, it was if Anna Wintour was the executive producer of our show. And so Seth fed her the line that we used as the last line in the video. I love my job because I love to laugh. And she delivered it so tersely to the camera. Man, it was so funny. The favorite video that we've done together, I think, is Oscar Bait.
Yeah.
It's a really...
Should we touch on it a little bit? Like how it was we shot over 2 days.
We did.
one on location in Queens.
Yes.
And then they built 8 sets in 30 Rock. Seth came in on a flight at like 5:30 in the morning and on the day of a shooting. And then
Tijuana.
From like smelling like booze.
Yeah, bad.
Black eye. Makeup was in disarray. They didn't know how to cover it up.
Yeah.
And then he shot for like 12 hours. He was in every scene, shot for 12 hours, had like 5 wardrobe changes, makeup, the works. It was really fun.
For someone like you, is it really, I would assume it must be pretty fun to sort of create all these like iconic shots. Like we had a Spike Lee shot that's really well known. We had an Alfred Hitchcock shot that's in it. Was it fun? Was it like
this
a playground?
The most fun, because I come from like a camera background. I started like cinematography. And so much of this was like not just like jokes and performance, but like they needed to be enhanced by the shots.
Right.
Some were specific jokes, but like, lighting really needed to be spot on. I got us, normally we like, and this is more technical, but like normally we'll cross shoot scenes because it's faster to shoot.
What?
And I got to do single camera, which makes your lighting, always makes your lighting better because
Great.
You're not fighting lights. It's like classic.
Cool.
Classic setup here.
That's awesome.
It was so much, it was the most fun I had because they also, we very rarely, most of our shoots are what, 3 hours at the most, because we get Seth after the show.
Yeah.
This, and lighting is like the day of.
Mm-hmm.
This, they gave us 10 hours to light. Like, they gave us a full lighting pre-light day on every set. We used every inch of it, every minute of it, and it really made a difference. It was cool.
I want to ask you another question. What do you hate about the job?
I mean, like, really, you are bothering me constantly in the writer's room.
Sure.
Like, you're, that view that you mentioned, you're constantly hovering over me, and you're like, whoa, check that out, the ice rink.
Right.
Whoa, what's going on down there? Yeah. Hey, that's a lot of people hovering over me, trying to get in on that view.
Right.
Which, in my opinion, I've earned.
Right.
And so it's a lot of, like...
Sure. So you hate that.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. You're over my shoulder a lot.
No. Okay, I understand.
Best part? Free cheese plate during rehearsal, dude.
Yeah,
and I think everyone would agree.
If anybody ever wants to eat cheese that has been in a hallway for 4 to 5 hours,
room temperature Gouda,
and is like hardened in a way that should not be hardened,
there's a light layer.
Come
on,
like that's the magic of 30 Rock.
Ugh.
Oh, these hallowed halls. There's the. Are stunk up with
I imagine
dumb,
Chevy Chase
cheese.
Was eating cheese there back in the day.
I'm Chevy Cheese and you're not. I feel like we've covered it. I'm getting the
Are
nod.
We getting the light from the producer?
From Seth Myers who's in here. What, he oversees all of
what
these.
Is your favorite beat from Oscar Bait?
Favorite beat from Oscar Bait is Seth's performance when he's in the car. And he's going crazy because
he winged that
because we did not expect him. If you haven't watched it, please watch it. Seth did this thing that we didn't expect, which
Unscripted.
Is he rolled over to the passenger seat, got out of the door, walked back into the back seat, went to another seat, opened up the car door and walked around the car and opened it. It was so funny. And I told him the performance warmed my heart and also made me very jealous because I would have loved to have performed that. It was so funny. It was great.
Very cool.
And your favorite beat, and then we'll...
Well, I love the long Steadicam shot in the kitchen. I think it looks really cool. But you know that like that shot will haunt me forever because I realized in the editing room a better way to start it in a cooler looking way.
You mean the one where he's playing solitaire?
Yeah. So the video is actually forever. This is true. I'll never actually fully be able to love it.
And you can also... This is true from the bottom of my heart. It's not good.
No.
Okay. thank you so much for joining us.
Should we do an outro where we say late night chats with Reese and Mike again?
I think I'm supposed to say thank you for chatting with me, Mike.
You too, Seth. Reese.
Yes.
Hey, and thanks for listening, everyone. And this has been
Late Night Chats with Reese and Mike.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next $1 billion company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere. With venture capital pouring in
from Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.